Steve and Justin use Y-charts for their winning investment research. So start your free trial now. And if you purchase, mention InvestTalk and get a generous discount at YCharts.com.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining me today on Invest Talk. It is Tuesday, January 15th, 2019, and welcome. I'm Steve Peasley, and I thank you for being with me today. Our daily objective, it never changes. I hate to bore you with it, but it's never going to change. And that is to help you to become a better investor, to help you be an above average investor. And to achieve that, or help you achieve that, I promise to give you the best insight and information I can, the most accurate that I can. And obviously, with being on this show, and it's only an hour show, it's difficult to get into in-depth on any one particular thing. But I will provide you and answer any of the questions, provide you with truth, facts, and answer any of the questions, as long as they're financial, that I can. The number is 888-99-CHART. You can call right now. We call it the listener line, 888-99-CHART. Well, the market opened up and slowly gained strength all day. The Dow ended up being 156 points, the NASDAQ up 118, and the S&P up 28. So, what, 6 days or so in a row, five of the last six, it has been up. So it's been a good start for January, and here is the 15th, the middle of the month. So it's been a good start. Now, what's going to help? What's going to affect the market coming up in the coming days? Obviously, earnings reports. We're going to have earnings season, and the U.S. government shutdown, which at some point, and that point may be now, starting to bite a little bit. And, of course, there's that continuing turmoil in Europe. And regarding the Brexit process, which, you know, the vote failed today, so Brexit is still, no one knows what's going to happen there yet. And looking toward the U.S., J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo each reported lower earnings, and their stock was trading down like 2% each. Lower earnings. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more today. The oil prices hit $51 a barrel. That's better than it was. And gasoline at the pumps are averaging about $2.25. I actually think that's the sector, and I'm going to talk about that too. I think that that energy sector is going to do well this year. I really do. Did you see this about Facebook? They decided to go local, investing $300 million in local news. News. News content. Think about that. Facebook is what? What do they do? And now they're going to start providing news? Are they going to get political? Just wondering. That politics going to, you know, I'm concerned as a Facebook investor. I told you before, I'm not keen on investing in Facebook. And Netflix raised prices. And that was 15%. Going from $11 a month to $13 a month. And I'll bet you most Netflix subscribers don't really care. So that means Netflix earnings are going up. Netflix is a great success story. I mean, they're beating Hollywood at their own game. Have you seen that? I mean, they're producing original content that people want to see. So I think that's going to be good news, really, for their bottom line. I really do. Let's see, financial news out this morning. Apple, you know, Apple spends $150 million each year on flights, United Airlines, to China. They 50 seats a day go to China. That's interesting. The U.S. government wants to know if it's feasible to raise the minimum wage from $7.25 to $15. Now, this is all politics and it's all murky, but what in the world do they think they're going to do? Do they think raising the minimum wage to $15 is not going to have... Who's going to think is going to pay for that? You know who's going to pay? Remember, a minimum wage job is a starting job. That's for the high school kid or you just getting started. That's not a career. right? And we're talking about burger flippers and things. You know, that's the minimum wage. I don't know why they're so focused on this. If you raise the minimum wage, which is fine, you could do that, but you think the employers are just going to stand by idle? I have always been a small businessman, and over the years, I know about 1/3 of your cost as a small business is salaries. Okay, so when you raise salaries, that's about 1/3 of your business is being increased. You're going to pass that cost along some way, shape, or form. You're going to pass it along. Or you have to get more efficient. You just lay off people because you can't afford them. You have to get more efficient some way. So it's not a vacuum raising those minimum wages. TSA, you know the TSA, the security people at airports, you might be start seeing some delays. They're not getting paid. Remember, this shutdown of the government, it's going to start biting people. And also, Coast Guard people not getting paid. It's going to have an effect on the economy. And, you know, something needs to be done, that's for sure. I mean, why can't they just come to a compromise? You know, isn't that how our government is designed, to come to a compromise? Why do you have to, you know, both sides don't have to dig in so vehemently? You know, you're just hurting everybody. Both sides can compromise. That's how I look at it. As you can tell, there's always a lot of news out there. Some of it, you know, is political, but a lot of times political news affects us investors. So you have to keep an eye on it. You have to understand what's going on and how that'll affect you. So that's what we're going to talk about. What do you want to talk about financially? Any financial questions, be happy to take them. Listen, line number is 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve, this is John calling from Chicago. I had a question I was hoping you could answer. It's a pretty simple one. Basically, it has to do with taxes. I want to know if I have to pay taxes or how the taxes work if I sell an individual stock and immediately sell a stock for a short gain and then immediately buy or purchase another stock following. Do I pay taxes since I just reinvested the money? I look forward to hearing the answer. Thanks, Steve.
Yes, that's a capital gain. You're going to pay capital gains tax on the gain, whether it's short-term or long-term. Short-term means, did you own the stock and sell that stock in a 12-month period? Or did you own it longer than 12 months? If you owned it longer than 12 months, the rate on the profits, the tax rate on the profits is 20%. If you had it less than a year, it would be your ordinary income tax rate, whatever rate that is on your ordinary income. But yes, you take a gain in the stock, you're going to pay income tax no matter what you do with the money after you sell it. You have to pay income, the capital gains tax. Okay, good question, though. I mean, you know, maybe there's a lot of people out there don't know the answer to that. 888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. This is InvestTalk, and I'm Steve Peasley. My Northern California portfolio consultation date is getting closed. I mean, you know, it's coming up quick, and there's not a lot of time, spaces left. So if you want to meet with me, remember I'd be in San Jose on January 23rd, a week from tomorrow, San Jose, January 23rd. So you need to contact me. You need to, you know, it's no cost. We take a look at your portfolio, talk about anything financial, you know, and I'll show you or demonstrate what our programs do. And if there's a fit, that's great. If not, that's okay. So for the portfolio review, all you do is you got to register at investtalk.com. Send me an email. Register at investtalk.com. You're going to send me an email saying you want an appointment, and we'll be in touch with you. Okay? Or anytime this one line never closes. And at the moment, I'm taking your questions live at 888-99-CHART.
It may be hard to believe, but we are already into the third week of 2019. Maybe now is a good time to get your portfolio in shape. Steve Peasley is returning to San Jose on Wednesday, January 23rd. If you act quickly, you can sit down with Steve for a no-cost portfolio review. Register now at investtalk.com. The phone lines are open. Steve is here. And he's ready for your questions. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278, our main talking point today. 5 money mistakes that keep you from getting rich. Now, anyone can suffer financial and investing errors. Everybody makes mistakes. okay? But there are a few mistakes that you can really avoid. The super rich always avoids them, and you can too, and they're not that hard. So we're going to talk about them, okay? And you can avoid these mistakes. And the biggest number one mistake that I have observed all the years that I've been around, and I continue to observe it in my nieces and nephews and my in-laws and my brothers and sisters, is that they spend more money than they earn. That's the biggest mistake they have. They always do it. Most of them always do it. And they don't seem to get it, that over time, you could be wealthy if you just spend less than you earn. But they seem not to be able to do that. That's the number one lesson out there. Some other things we're going to talk about. Do you hear about the mortgage lending that's plunging? But it's for different reasons than you might think. We're going to talk about that. And what about the S&P 500 earnings? What was it this year, last year, 2018, because they're rolling in now. And what are the projections for next year? And what sectors look good? What sectors look bad? We'll talk about that if we can. And finally, I want to talk about the PPI, inflation rate. Remember, we had the CPI. Talked about the CPI. Don't confuse CPI with PPI. They obviously are related. One, the PPI is a producer price index, and the CPI is the consumer price index. And why you want to pay attention to both is the PPI is what eventually gets flowed onto you. In other words, the producers are making things and they're paying for inflation from input products, raw materials. So they pay for those, and if they experience inflation, they tend to pass that cost on to you, and it shows up in the CPI, Consumer Price Index. Now, sometimes they absorb it as much as they can. They don't pass that price on. But so what is happening with inflation? Now, you know, I've been reporting on it and telling you that it's not nearly as worrisome as the Federal Reserve makes it out to be. And I've been saying that for months, and it's turning out to be so. Okay, and the recent reports we're getting. So, does that mean the Federal Reserve, this all goes back to what the Federal Reserve, are they going to increase rates? And they said, remember at the last meeting, after the last meeting in December, we're going to raise 2 times in 2019. That's what Powell said. He didn't say it that clear, but he clearly said 2, and he clearly said it probably will be 2 times in 2019, clearly. Now, more recent, after you got some more recent information on inflation, it's not nearly as clear. So we'll get to that if we can. 888-99-CHART is our number. Let's grab another call if we can. This came in earlier. 888-99-CHART.
In value in the last quarter, mainly based on a revised outlook. Yeah, what worries me a little bit is the debt. They have quite a high debt value, and they are in the process of another $2 billion acquisition, which is pending FTC approval. I would like to hear your opinion. Thanks.
Okay, you cut off the front part of that. FMS is a symbol, Fresenius Medical Aid. It's a $21 billion company out of Germany. Fresenius, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a German name. They're going to make $2.73 in 2019 after making $2.43 this year. Their sales growth is shrinking. Last three quarters, it went from zero growth to minus 4%, and the most recent quarter, minus 8%. That was September. We haven't got the latest numbers. So that's kind of worrisome. And the stock price, of course, has fallen. It's a $34 stock with a $2.73 earnings. I don't think it's cheap, and I don't think it's expensive, and I don't think it's that attractive. I would probably avoid it. Okay? Avoid it. I just don't think it is something that will attract you. Symbol is FMS. There's not a lot of good things to talk about it. Everybody, this is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we stream and broadcast Invest Talk live, and we do it at the 4 o'clock hour for Monday through Friday Pacific time every weekday. It's also available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week via archive podcast at investtalk.com. So you can listen to it. We cut out all the commercials. You can listen to it anytime you want. The podcast, and there's, well, there might be one short commercial in there. And so tell your friends if they want to listen to the show, they can download it.
This is Invest Talk, the KPP Premium Newsletter, distributed to each subscriber's inbox on Fridays, provides a summary of the market week that was, offers a look ahead, and even points out notable stock ideas. You can subscribe anytime at investtalk.com. Have you got a question for Steve? He's here, and the lines are open. 888-99-CHART.
Okay, 5 money mistakes that keep you from getting rich. You know, I love these numbers. They always give you 5 or this and 10 of that. These 3 methods of doing something. Well, these are 5 money mistakes. And, you know, they're pretty much true. But this is a study and a book written by Tom Corley. And, you know, he says that the super rich generally don't make the few money mistakes we're going to talk about. And one of the many mistakes is where they don't follow a fad. They don't panic out. They don't sell off when everybody else is selling off. They tend to buy. And they don't buy Bitcoin and stuff like that. That's not how they work. And you know, they also seek out expert advice on things. They don't try to do everything themselves. But basically, they work at being successful every day. Every day. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not talking about you coming up with an idea to make billions of dollars every day. No, they don't. It's like they do certain things every day. They try to learn something new all the time. They try to, you know, they just day to day, month to month, year to year, they develop good habits. They try to surround themselves with smart people. They attend seminars or, you know, they try to improve their skills. Even though they might not be that skillful, maybe not that good, they try. The important part is the effort. Effort. I mean, recently Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett said, the greatest asset to own is your own abilities. So in other words, develop your own skills. Do what you like and develop those skills and try to be better and better and better. Do it every day. Work at it every day. And it sounds like work. It's not work. You know, if you like doing something, you want to do something, you do it because you like it. So it's not like you just got to keep after it. Okay? So, you know, some of the 5 things, doing it yourself. You don't need to do it all by yourself. You can hire people. You don't hire, do you do your own plumbing and your own electricity? I don't, because I'm scared to hire somebody. So you got to diversify, not just diversify a portfolio of stocks, diversify your wealth. Buy that first property and live in the house. Buy a second property. You know, invest in something else. You know, try, make sure you do your 401k. You know, diversify. Stay away from fad investing. And of course, the most recent one I can think of is Bitcoin. Another, you know, stay away from the get rich quick schemes. They never work. Yeah, you'll hear like penny stocks. That's going to be one of my topics, not this week, but the week after on Invest Talk Academy. Penny stocks, I'm going to be talking about them, how to avoid them, how to recognize them. You know, so, and another thing that the rich don't do, that rich do that people don't, is they plan long term. They don't expect to get rich tomorrow, but they make efforts and work at it every day to eventually get rich. And please, do not panic. That's the worst thing you can do. Panic out or panic in. I'm going to miss out. I need to get in. No. Either way is a mistake. Okay, everybody? I think we got that. 888-99-CHART is our number. Let's fit another call if we can. 888-992-4278.
Hey, Invest Talk. This is Alias out of Corpus Christi, Texas, calling. I had a question to see if y'all could look at Maxar Technologies, M-A-X-R. Took a huge dip. They make money. They lost all their stock price because a satellite went down, couldn't take pictures, couldn't sell the revenue. But that satellite is also insured for, I believe, $183 million that they should be able to sustain. They're just not going to be able to make all that profit. I want to know what you think. It used to be like a $30 stock. I think it is a young company. So I guess that does worry me. If they're having problems now, then why wouldn't they keep having problems? Anyways, if you could look at it, M-A-X-R. Thank you, guys. Look forward to listening to it on the podcast.
888-99-CHART, everybody, for all those other questions you guys have here. Maxtar Technologies, M-A-X-R. It's a $329 million company. It's a really small company. Do they make money? Actually, they do make money. So they're going to make $4 this year after making $276, but next year down to $353. It provides operational solutions to commercial and government organizations across the world, whatever that means. Provides operational solutions. That one paragraph doesn't tell me really what they do. The stock is a fairly new stock. Came out in December, I don't know, what day was that? A year ago, a little over a year ago. And, you know, their sales growth was very, very good. The stock got crushed. And so I'm just not, you know, it's too small. You need to stay away from these very small companies. They're very volatile. Is it worth it? $5.57? Well, of course, if they're going to make $4 a share, that would be way worth it. But because it's so cheap, it worries me. Something's not right. The debt is a problem. They have lots of debt. I would be very careful to look into this. It's way too cheap. This is what we call possibly a value trap, and that's why I would be worried about it. Tomorrow on InvestTalk, one expert's opinion says that the markets will be directed by the dollar and China. We'll see what that is all about. 888-99-CHART.
Your typical workday can be very busy. Assignments, appointments, responsibilities, obligations. Sometimes you start early and end late. For that reason alone, you may already be looking to the future, to a period when your money, your accumulated assets, are working for you and ultimately creating financial freedom. There are many voices suggesting financial planning services, but there's one company, one firm, that offers a balanced variety of strategically designed investment plans. One firm that applies decades of experience to enable a client personalized collaboration. One firm that can show you how to optimize an investment portfolio that fits your lifestyle objectives and risk tolerance limitations. One firm that speaks with a clear, logical, and unbiased voice. Start with a contact call to KPP Financial or visit kppfinancial.com.
This is InvestTalk, and we're glad you're with us today for 1 hour of financial news and perspective. And your decision-making process can benefit from this practical and unbiased advice, especially if you consult with Steve or Justin. Step up now with your questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Okay. Mortgage lending dropped off a cliff. The big three, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase, their mortgage lending dropped off 23% to 30% in December. Now, it might have been even longer than that. I'm not sure if that's just December or the last quarter. I'm not sure. Fewer loans and higher competition translated into lower profits for all three of these guys. Remember, this is Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and JP Morgan. When I read this report, what I thought was interesting about it, and you know, one of the things you have to do as an investor, you have to be a critical reader. Okay, if you're going to read things or listen to something on TV, you know, as far as investing and trying to figure out what happens, you need to be critical in your understanding of what they're saying. The important part on this whole thing wasn't about these banks losing business. The important part was the why. And, of course, the easy answer is because interest rates rose. No, that's not necessarily the why. The why is non-bank lending, which is companies like Quicken Loans and Loan Depot, they took 59% of the loan business in 2018. Of all loans, all mortgages, they took 59% of them for 2018. almost 60% of the loans went to them, not these big banks. So what does that tell you and me as an investor? That means if you're looking at the banks and you're looking at a bank that has lots of loan business in, out there, and that's how they make a lot of their money, competition is eating their lunch. So you better consider that before you invest. So now the Quicken Loans and the Loan Depot, the 59%, that was buried in this article. It wasn't like at the first paragraph. It was like the fifth paragraph on the article. And that, to me, was the most important part of why they lost business. They focused on the fact that, you know, that the interest rates rose and there was less buyers out there. Yes, there were less loans. There was a lot less loans out there. But they should have also focused on, and the loans that are out there, 60% of them are going to non-bank entities. That, to me, was the, I don't know, you buried the lead. You know, you ever heard that term, bury the lead in an article, or they bury the lead, the thing that was important, they didn't talk about that. Happens all the time. That's why you got to be a critical listener or a critical reader. Try to figure out everything that's important. Look for the facts. This is how I do it. I just want the facts. And the facts was 59%. That was the facts. You know, everything else was fluff. Okay, another fact. They lost, the three big banks lost between 25 and 30% of the loan business that they had last year or last month or whatever it was. Okay, that was a fact too. But that wasn't the interesting fact. Notice what I zeroed in on. I know all about that whole for 2018. But, you know, so I don't know. I'm trying to just make you guys a better investor. That's what it is all about. Don't just listen to the headlines. The headlines are very misleading very often. Or anytime this line is always open, 888-99-CHART. And you can get through with any of your financial questions. Here's a question that came in earlier.
Hello, Steve and Justin. Thank you for the show. I have a question regarding the stocks. As Steve has mentioned multiple times, in 2019, this year, the market isn't going to be very positive. So I'm thinking of a strategy to invest in the stocks which has good dividends. So do you think this is a good strategy? And my second question is, how do you pick up a stock with dividends? So the only metric that I'm aware of is the annualized dividends. So what are the other key metrics that we can look at? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. The most important thing about a dividend-paying stock is its ability to keep paying that dividend, the ability to increase that dividend, and the fact that it's not paying about 60 to 70% earnings in dividends, unless it's a REIT, a real estate investment trust, that it has room to expand its dividend. So we call that the payout ratio. The payout ratio should be about 60% or less. Payout ratio means the payout of the dividend should be about 60%. Okay, so if they're paying a 5% dividend, well, how much money do they make? And what's the stock price? You got to know those three things. The payout ratio. Look it up on investopedia.com. And yes, I think a dividend strategy is a good strategy. There's one that's been around for umpteen bazillion decades called the Dogs of the Dow. The Dogs of the Dow. And they're the 10 highest yielding, lowest priced stocks of the Dow 30. And every January, you buy the 10 highest yielding, lowest priced stocks. And what was really interesting, and they didn't change from one year to the next, from 2018 to 2019. And what was very interesting, and that it did outperform the Dow. Now, you can say it one way, well, it outperformed the Dow by 50%. Or you can say it this way. The Dow was down about 7%, and the Dogs of the Dow strategy was down 3%. 3 points, I'm saying. But they outperformed the Dow by 50%. You see how they can mislead you on numbers? Critical listening. Critical reading. I could mislead you so easily by saying, well, it really killed the Dow last year, 50% better than the Dow. And you would just think, oh, wow, they made a lot of money. No. Neither the Dow nor the Dogs of the Dow made money. But it did outperform the Dow. And over long periods of time, it generally does. because, and why does it work? Dogs are the now. I'm not suggesting you go out and do this, by the way. I'm just pointing out this strategy. Because the stocks in the Dow are big, huge companies. They pay dividends, right? That's kind of what they do. At the same time, the stocks probably have gone down, and that's why the dividend yield has gone up. So they're the highest yielding dividends, lowest priced stocks. So these stocks were beat up. ExxonMobil, Chevron, they're on there. Pfizer's on there. And it was on there last year. These were all on there last year. You know, IBM didn't do anything, did poorly last year. But these, you know, the 10, the Dogs of the Dow strategy. You can look that up in Investopedia as well. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley, and I understand that many investors can experience fear. Yes, fear. There's only two emotions in the market, fear and greed. And you fear when you feel unsure of how much portfolio money should be at risk. And that depends on many different factors, including how close you are to retirement. So my advice is take my free risk questionnaire at investtalk.com. Justin and I can use the results to develop a strategy that will work best for you and your portfolio based on how much risk you want to take. So, you know, it's really a good tool. It's free to take that questionnaire. It's just a few questions. It's not hard. Our show is well underway, as you know, and we're still taking your questions. So give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk, and Steve Peasley is returning to San Jose to meet with Invest Talk listeners that understand the value of receiving a free portfolio review from Steve. Mark your calendar, Wednesday, January 23rd. If you live anywhere in Northern California, you should reserve your space for a no-cost portfolio review consultation. Steve will analyze your portfolio's strengths and weaknesses so that you can start 2019 with a much better chance of building a comfortable financial future. Register now at investtalk.com. Okay. You've got finance and investment questions. Steve is here, and you can get his unbiased answers. Call now, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. Long-time listener. I really appreciate the show. I just have a question about ticker symbol, D as in Victory, XX. Let me know what's your take on that. I'll be listening to the podcast. Thanks a lot for the show again, and have a nice weekend.
Okay, I'd stay away from it. The VIX, this is the VXX, which is the ETF, ETN actually, corresponding to the performance of the S&P 500 VIX Short-Term Futures Index. So it follows the fear gauge, VIX index. But if you look at it over any length of time, year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, you will find that this VIX, VXX, the ETF, continually goes down even while the actual VIX goes sideways. And this VIX will go down, 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 down. That's the way it's constructed. So I don't like it because it doesn't track the VIX. And you think you're buying it at a low price because the VIX doesn't usually go below 12, 13. That's its lowest area where it goes. And so you think you're buying it there and you're buying the ETF, and therefore if the underlying index is not going any lower, but the ETF keeps going lower. And you're saying, well, wait a minute, it's not tracking like it's supposed to. Yes, it spikes up when the underlying VIX spikes up. It spikes down when the underlying VIX spikes down. But when the VIX moves sideways, it continuously goes down. So the VIX, the underlying VIX spikes one way or another rarely, once or twice a year. So the rest of the time is just kind of meandering, and therefore you're losing money. I just don't like it. I've looked at it carefully and just don't like the way it reacts. Okay? Just my opinion on that, guys. Okay? But I would avoid it. I would. Okay. The PPI came in. Producer price index, and the producer price index was lower than expected. The producer price index fell 0.2%. It was expected to fall 0.1%, so it's not that far off. And So that means at the producer level, input prices fell sharply. A lot of that fall was, of course, for oil and gasoline. Okay? But even the core rate still was very low too. Even if you stripped out food and energy out of the VIX, the core rate was flat. So they're telling you there's no inflation. Inflation peaked like in July. Okay, when I say peaked, I think the annual rate then was like almost 3.4%. That's what it was. Now the annual rate on the PPI is 2.5%. It's going down. So remember what the Fed's supposed to do. It's supposed to keep a steady economy going, and to do that, it's supposed to control inflation and try to keep a decent job market and economy moving forward. Well, how they do that is they raise or lower the Fed fund rate, interest rate, the only rate they control. They raise and lower that, trying to influence all the other rates because they don't control any other rate. Well, they've been raising the rates for one of the reasons, say they want to control inflation. But we don't have hardly any. Our average inflation over a very long period is about 3%. And really, their target is 2, and it's at 2.5 now. So it's in between our normal long-term rate and their target. And that's at the wholesale level. The retail level is even a little bit lower than that. So it's kind of frustrating for me when I talk about why is the Fed raising rates? And any of you have been listening to me, I said long before the last increase, they should stop raising the rates. We know the economy is going to slow down in 2019. Earnings are going to slow down. We know that. How about earnings are going to get cut in half? 50% it was last. In 2018, the earnings for 2019, the estimates are going to be half. So that tells you the Fed should be concerned. Also, we know the IMF, International Monetary Fund, is ratcheted down world growth. We're still going to grow, but less. China is in a world of hurt. We know that. And we're hurting more with our trade war. And I'm not sure what the Fed's thinking here. You don't raise rates in this kind of environment. You shouldn't have been raising rates. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Our anytime listener line is always open, 888, and it's the same number all the time. Here's a call that came in earlier.
Hello, Steve and Justin. I was calling to get your advice on a stock I'm looking at taking a position in. It's Fonar Corporation. Ticker is FONR. Just curious if you think this would be a good investment. It'd be a long-term investment. Just park some money and see how it goes. I'll be listening for your answer. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay. I don't want you to take this too bad, but people, you need to stop looking at these very tiny companies. Fonar Corporation. It's a $132 million size company. Okay, it's a very, very small company. When you get a company under $1 billion in size, you have to ratchet up the amount of risk that you're taking. It's very, very risky. Maybe because you're trying to shoot for the moon. And if you are, that's a mistake. Okay, what does Fonar do? Develops magnetic resonance imaging scanners and offers management and diagnostic services. Their growth rate is around 5 to 7% for sales. Management owns 3%. It's a very low PE, about 7. They make decent money, but it's been falling from $29 down to now $20.86. Had a good day today. But I'd have to do a lot more research to determine whether I should be thinking about buying this stock. It's very, very risky because of its size. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. We still have about 10 minutes, everybody. So you can give me a call. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That listener line, you can call it anytime you want. You really can. Call now. 888-99-CHART.
On the next Invest Talk, an expert's opinion says that the markets will be directed by the dollar and China. That story tomorrow. But now Steve is here, ready with answers, and he's waiting for your calls. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's go talk to John in Santa Cruz. How you doing, John?
Good, Steve. Thank you for taking my call. I'm looking at Schlumberger. Recently bought some shares, and it went up about 15% very quickly. And I'm thinking of buying more. And I'm wondering if I should wait till it goes down again, or
I would suggest you look for another one. I like Schlumberger. Don't get me wrong. I think the sector that is, for everybody else, the symbol is SLB, Schlumberger Limited, out of Houston, Texas, provides technology services, project management, and information solutions to petroleum industry worldwide. It's a $57-58 billion company. It pays a 4.8% dividend, and that dividend is not in danger. It probably will continue to pay. It has a very good cash flow of $4.28 a share. It's a $41 stock. It's not cheap, but it's much cheaper than it was. It's fallen from $60, $70 a share all the way down to, what, $35, $36, and now it's at $41. I like this whole sector. I think this is the sector that's going to be one of the biggest winners of 2019. And we're talking about the oil and gas field services sector. I think the whole oil sector will recover. That doesn't mean I think oil prices are going to skyrocket and gasoline is going to... No, I'm not thinking that at all. But they were all beat up so badly, and this is one of them, John, got beat up so badly that they're going to bounce. They're probably going to retract to somewhere near... This one would probably go into low 50s at the very least, I think. I just don't see it going back to 70, not until, big recovery in oil, and I don't see that anytime soon. But I think the whole industry has gotten so beat up that, it's going to have a good rally. It won't be a straight line, but I think it'll be one of the better performers this year. And it already has been, by the way, Sean, better performers this year. I mean, as you pointed out, it's already up 15% in January. that's pretty darn yearly return. That's a good yearly return. So, John, I do like it, but I don't know if I'd add more to it. I might suggest finding another similar one out there. Thanks, John. Let's go to Denise in Kansas City. How you doing, Denise?
Doing good. Thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Thank you.
Hey, I've been following this stock for a while. Ticker symbol CAG. ConAgra Brands.
Uh-huh. Yes. ConAgra, Okay, I think you can safely buy this for the dividend. I think it's a great price to own this company at. ConAgra is a $10 billion company. Produces self-stable and frozen foods, retail food, food ingredients, and agricultural products. CAG is the symbol, everybody. ConAgra Brands out of Chicago. They're going to make $205 this year, then $220 next year. And it's a $21 stock. So you're looking at a stock that's 9 PE. The five-year range is 9 to 25. Return on equity is very high at 22%. It pays a 4% dividend. And if you're not going to buy it while it's cheap, you want to buy it when it's expensive? It hung around for most of the year about $35 to $37 a share. And then, of course, like everything else, got crushed in December. Started falling in November, but got crushed in December. And it's been moving sideways since right at the beginning of the year. Hasn't really taken off even this year, not like the oil service sector. But if you're going to buy it for the dividend, this is the price you want to buy it for the dividend at. Okay? So, now I think this is a good price for it. Very good price. Okay? ConAgra, CAG. Okay, let's go to Jay in Florida. How you doing, Jay?
Hey, Steve, long time. How you been?
Yeah, thanks for calling. I've been good. How about yourself? Hey.
I'm all right. I love your show. I listen almost every night, and actually was going to ask you a question, a series of questions, but they were going to be really short. I was going to say to you that what would you do with, because I don't have a lot of money to invest. I only have about like $4,000 and trying to buy some good companies. So I was checking out Ford and GE and I was thinking
stay away from GE. I'd stay Stay away from both of them, Jay, please. Ford is a great company, but it's the wrong time. It's the wrong time. They're very cyclical in nature, very cyclical, meaning they're attached to the economic cycle. And, you know, you want to buy them in a recession. GE, they've got major problems. Don't look at the price. That price means that they should be, yeah, that's the price they deserve, you know, because they got major problems. I would stay away from GE completely, but buy Ford in a recession. So, Jay, sorry, I'm running out of time. I'd love to talk to you. I'm Steve Peasley, and this is completes another InvestTalk program, and I thank you for being with me today. Thank you for the loyal listeners and all the questions. Have a nice evening, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow, like I always am. And please tell your family and friends about InvestTalk. Appreciate it. Good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.